call what 1485 originally was what I'll call mandatory, and that means a mandatory sentence, and then it removes suspension, probation, and parole. Okay, mandatory. The next class down is what I'll call permissible mandatory, and that's what we have under driving while suspended. The statute says not less than 2 days, which appears to be mandatory, but because we do not suspend and do not prohibit suspension, parole, and probation, it's a permissible mandatory, and most courts, in fact, are not using it. And then we have as the third level the permissible sentence, which most of them are. Okay, we tried, we haven't got the votes on the floor or anyplace else to get the mandatory that passed the House. Not here. But I do think we can get the votes on the floor to put the permissible mandatory in for the first time. First offense on driving while under the influence. And that is a minimum 6 day, but you can use suspension, probation, and parole. That's the permissible mandatory.
We were going to make, no, it was 2 days, wasn't it?
2 days,
we were
okay.
Going to make it a
second offense.
Then second offense was going to be the mandatory and for 6 days, and the third offense, mandatory for 10 days.
Yeah.
Could you go with that, Harold?
Of course, I support the original bill.
All right. Assuming we can't get the original bill out of committee, and assuming...
Well, what does that mean for us?
I would like
have
to take
now?
That up Tuesday at our last meeting. All right. I'm still give us time.
Okay, but I'd like to have Don prepare the amendments,
right,
if you would.
You talked to Don.
I think I prepared those already, didn't I?
Could be.
I mean, 3 steps, we've left those amendments, and it's in the book someplace.
Well, maybe it's hooked to 54.
Yeah,
we're back to, because 54 is out, all the rest of them are out without it, and this would kind of overlay it, 1485. Because 1216 went out without it, 54 went out without it, so this would have to overlay it.
We'll have our last meeting too.
Okay.
This would be
all
on
right.
House Bill 1485.
Right.
That's brought that up. Just be careful. Put it in separate.
Lee Johnson is here on HJR 12. Gave a pitch. I told him that we had this back at your request, and so I'd like to have you pitch us on it.
Okay, well, of course, I don't know what the Attorney General said, although I know he's
I think he does.
In favor of this. Although I think the House amendments were frankly not very desirable amendments, because I think there's some ambiguity there. But even with the ambiguity, I think that since this has to be submitted to the people, I would urge the committee to pass it out. It has passed the House. I think that it's quite restrictive in as much as the district attorney would not be able to proceed in circuit court on information unless there had been a preliminary hearing. In other words, he's not going to be able to, in lieu of a secret indictment or something such as that, go directly into circuit court. I mean, we're talking about those felonies where there's been an information or a complaint filed in district court and there's been a preliminary hearing.
Senator Carson.
Senator Carson has a question.
Well, the comment, I guess, before Lee was here, and he says good bill, couldn't understand any disagreement with it, and wants us to strip out what you're just explaining and put the bill back in its original form. As I understand the Attorney General, he said he thought he could get that back to the House. I don't know that he can get it through the committee here, so that's another matter. But my understanding, and check me, Harl and Ken, was that he doesn't want it if we can't. We don't strip out that amendment, he doesn't think it does much. He raised the second point, and that is that he'd like, as an alternative, to have it drawn so that as may be provided by statute, which means that this is a constitutional amendment, goes into the Constitution, we vote on it, and then the Criminal Law Procedure or Criminal Law Revision Commission can determine. What Harl's worrying about, and I think he's got a good point, if this passes without the preliminary examination, I think the preliminary examination will disappear. We won't know it because there's no statutory requirement as such. And so this would throw it in the laps of the Criminal Law Revision Commission. So what I think the question would be, maybe this is going to be what the Criminal Law Revision Commission will recommend to the 73 legislature. But if that would be a good idea, why don't we do it now? Assuming we have the votes, as may be provided by statute. If it passes, then the 73 session can decide whether they want a preliminary hearing or not, or want to provide it or not, or whatever the case may be. Would you buy that, Earl, or you wouldn't buy it?
No, I think preliminary hearing is very much a part of our law and should remain. I think it's protected now, more or less.
And you feel that if we said as provided by statute, it gets
not in the way. We'll be back here lobbying to get rid of it next time.
Well, Harl, I don't disagree with you about preliminary hearing.
I don't either.
But I think the bill in its original form, where it says, or if he has been held to answer upon the charge, requires a preliminary hearing. The only thing that it would have allowed that I don't think the amendment allows, and that's a waiver, an express voluntary waiver of preliminary hearing by the defendant. Because it says if he's had a preliminary examination, and I think that the argument could be made if he's waived it, that he hasn't had it. And I don't see why the district attorney, if you're going to allow him under the original language of the bill, to proceed on an information circuit court if the man's been held to answer, whether he's been held to answer as a result of a preliminary hearing or if he has voluntarily waived a preliminary hearing, it should make any difference.
I'll go for the amendment.
I think so. As Don, he'd know more than I.
But I won't, at least point when he didn't, you know, and I...
Well,
yeah, I'm not trying to... On that point, I'd go for that.
Well, in other words, what I'm saying is that the bill as originally drafted would have allowed a waiver because he could waive and still have been held to answer. Or he could have had his preliminary hearing and then been held to answer and the district attorney could not proceed. But when you put in the language he's had a preliminary examination, you raise the question as to whether or not a waiver is having a preliminary examination. That's all. I think the House amendment just creates some ambiguity in there without accomplishing anything.
There were people in the House, and I think the Attorney General, I may be wrong, but I think he felt
since
the
judgment
that the original bill does not guarantee a preliminary hearing.
Well, I don't know how he'd be held to answer without a preliminary hearing unless he waived it. How else could he be held to answer? I know of no other way that he could be.
Well, why can't we just? I just want to make damn sure it's in there. And like I'm saying, the discussion in the House was that it wasn't in there. And then there is a provision here where waive indictment. You see, right before that.
That's the original language.
Yeah. Waive indictment.
Why does he have to waive the preliminary hearing? He can waive indictment, and that by waiving indictment, why don't we put in preliminary examination? Or if he's had a preliminary examination, except don't they call it something else?
They call it preliminary hearing.
Hearing.
What it's called. I don't think it's a major problem to call it an examination. My only question was that by putting in had a preliminary examination, whether the district attorney could proceed in circuit court after a voluntary waiver of that preliminary examination, whether that would amount to having it or not. I don't know. I'm just raising the question.
Well, but whatever.
And I don't think it should make any difference from the standpoint of the defendant's protection if he has waived that preliminary hearing.
He needs to vote to get it out, so if he agrees, whatever you want, I'll go. I'll be the fourth vote.
If you're going to let the DA go in after he's had a preliminary hearing and the defendant's been held to answer, if you're going to allow him under the amendment to the Constitution to go into circuit court and file an information rather than going to the grand jury, under those circumstances, why not allow him to do the same thing if the defendant has voluntarily waived that preliminary hearing in district court? That's my only
thing. I agree. I'm not saying or if he has had or waived.
And has, had or waived a preliminary examination and has been held to answer. I'd like the word hearing in there, but if that's going to gum it up with the House to change, just change language.
Well, I don't think so.
Or if he has had or waived.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Had or waived a preliminary hearing.
A preliminary hearing instead of examination?
I think that's probably more of...
That's what everybody calls it. That's the language of the trade. Yeah, you talk about a preliminary hearing, not a preliminary examination. So it would read, or if he has had or waived a preliminary hearing and has been held to answer upon the charge.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good.
Could I ask a question at this point? If I understand it correctly, magistrate means JP, and I think it ought to be circuit court judge.
Well, no, you see, you're just talking about allowing him the protection of a hearing before a judge, so that the state has to put on at least a prima facie case to see whether or not the crime has been committed and there's reasonable grounds to believe the defendant has committed it. That's just a preliminary step. That's not his trial.
It sounds like if I read the language that, for instance, I could be brought before a JP on a felony charge and put in the hoosgow after a hearing before a JP held for indictment.
That's the law now.
Yes. Then why did they put that in there? Or that's new language, or if he hasn't held an answer upon the charge before a magistrate.
Well, the reason they put that in there was to prevent the district attorney from just going into circuit court under any circumstances, whenever he felt like it. In other words, the only kind of felony cases he would be allowed to go into circuit court is where the man has had a preliminary hearing. Otherwise, he wouldn't even have to file a charge in district court or in justice court.
What I'm trying to say is, why, if you're going to have this other amendment here, why do you have to have the bold face type 2? I don't know about law. Am I asking a sensible question?
Well, because he could have the preliminary hearing and not be held to answer, for one thing.
Well, then why or?
You see.
Why do you have the word or in there?
Or if he has, you don't, because you have the or in there because under the existing law, the only way the district attorney can proceed other than by indictment is if the defendant comes into circuit court and voluntarily waives that indictment, and then the DA can proceed instead of going to the grand jury, just file an information in circuit court. You put the or in there to give an alternative and say that even though he hasn't waived the indictment, if he's had a preliminary hearing and he's been held to answer,
yes,
then that's another kind of case. But if he hasn't had a preliminary hearing or if he hasn't waived indictment, in other words, the DA, in lieu of going to the grand jury and get a secret indictment, could not go into circuit court on straight information. That's the reason.
I guess what I don't know is the difference between this preliminary hearing and answering before the magistrate.
Well, it's all part of the same thing. You have your hearing, but being held to answer is very important because that judge then, after he hears the state's evidence, such as it is...
Well, this is part of the process.
Oh, sure.
I see. Okay. I thought it was the same deal.
Is that all right with you now, Harold?
Yeah.
Would you...
move the amendment?
Yeah. Wally said that if it satisfied you, his vote was affirmative. So.
Well, I'd move the amendment.
Senator Haas moves the amendment as presented on 9-18. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Why don't you move it out? I voted against it in the House.
Okay. I move it out of the House. HGR 12 is amended out. Do pass.
Senator Hoyt moves it out. Do pass as amended.
Senator
Carson has
voted
against.
What time did you start?
Senator Haas?
Aye.
That was a good morning's work meeting.
Yeah, that's right.